What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 15 of the All Drive, No Drop podcast. We're here with David from Tickle My Pickleball, Jacob, myself. How are you doing today, David?
Good, man. I'm just trying to get ready for the winter storm that's coming in our area.
You got a winter storm coming? How many inches are we talking?
So honestly, it's not that bad. I think it's supposed to be like 4 to 6, but like people here, we're not used to snow. So if we, even if we get like 1 inch, like all the DMV drivers are going crazy and crashing into each other. So it's just best to not go outside when any snow happens.
Yeah. So you, everything like shuts down in that area when you start getting 4 to 6 inches, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. 4 to 6 inches, you know, is kind of like average in some parts here, but like 4 to 6 inches is, that's pretty big over there, right? Like, you get that, what, once a year maybe, or not even every year?
Yeah, not even every year.
We actually haven't had, like, the biggest snowfall we've had here in Southeast Michigan is, like, I think, like, 1.5 inches this year. Like, we haven't, or not this year, but this winter, we haven't had anything big. We get the least amount of snow in Michigan. Like, the west side and northern Michigan have already gotten a ton of snow. So I live in, the best area for, like, not getting snow if you're not a snow person. I don't really enjoy the snow that much because I don't ski or snowboard, so you know, whatever. But hopefully you guys be safe, get to work from home, I'm sure, so that'll be good. But we are doing a little bit of a little mixed podcast here. We're going to talk about this Jillian Braverman, Jilly B versus the PPA drama, or I guess versus the UPA. There's some tweets popping off, some Instagram stories popping off, a lot of interesting stuff going on over the weekend. It seems like every week we have some new drama going on. Like, it's not, you know, usually I think drama in most leagues is like a certain player, say like NBA or NFL. It's like the individual player does something noteworthy. But this one, it seems like the UPA themselves are kind of like the source behind the drama. So it's a little interesting that they are kind of like the fuel for the fire for these dramas. But we'll get into it. And then we're going to have an interview after that drama with Carol, my mixed partner for pickleball. You've seen her in a lot of my reviews. She was in Puerto Rico and talks about the Puerto Rico pickleball scene. Pretty interesting interview, and you can learn a little bit about her if you're looking to hear about that. So let's get into this drama. I'm kind of going to go through a little bit of a timeline here. Basically, first, Jilly B on her podcast with her wife had a statement that I'll just read this statement verbatim here. 10 months after the blockbuster $75 million merger between the Major League Pickleball and the Tom Dundon-backed PPA Tour, the new entity, the UPA, needs an emergency bridge loan of $10 million by January 15th. Let's see, to meet its obligations, we'll say. So she started off in the podcast talking about how they, you know, they're having funding issues and they needed, I think, money to pay people's salaries. Also, they did buy back two teams, and I've heard that there was were like installment plans, so I don't know how much money was needed to like pay back those teams. So that, you know, that kind of all starts out, and it's like, all right, she called it a house of cards. Basically, that was like her thumbnail, her title said the PPA is a, or the UPA is a house of cards. It's falling fast. And obviously they did have, like, even the players were saying that they had inflated contracts, right, for like what the, what kind of revenue they actually bring in. So then a man responds, Samin Adwani, who is the chief strategy officer of the UPA. I believe he's a recent addition to the team. He said, Jill, let's stick to the facts. Happy to help you with that. I just left a role with KD Trey 5. I think, is that KD, Kevin Durant? I don't know. 35 Ventures in boardroom. Yeah, okay. And become a strategy officer at UPA. I moved my wife and newborn to Dallas yesterday because after meticulous reviewing the financials, and that one cuts off, basically he's just saying that he wouldn't have moved his entire family unless he thought the financials were good. And he said that the UPA brought in $50 million in revenue last year. You know, I've seen this in a lot of newer companies. They always talk about the revenue, but he does not talk about, you know, how much of that was profit. So it's kind of a, you know, a thing I would like to call out is like, yeah, you had $50 million in revenue, but what did, you know, how much of that was profit? You might have not, maybe there was no profit. I'm assuming there might not, I'm not going to assume if there, what the profit is, but kind of a big deal to leave out the profit when you're stating your revenue. So he said that the costs we are now funding, which were outside of the budget, are buying back two teams, buying players out of contracts we inherited from the bidding wars. These investments were made after board deliberation and with intentionality. You clearly have the email about the bridge loan, but you did just... But did you just invent the word emergency? It's not in there. Why didn't you mention that the $10 million is already funded by existing investors, showing how committed our team owners are to growth? Since you like to make false claims, should we remind everyone when you said MLP players couldn't play at PPA events? What happened there? Or you claim to have, or when you claim to have over 100 players committed to your collective, should we share the truth on that? Or the many times you said the merger would never happen. You have absolutely no credibility. It's unfortunate you're not good enough to play with the best of the top tour, and you have to resort to clickbait to fill your career as a micro influencer. Seems like this type of this time of year inspires you to make false claims. Then she responded, but a few weeks later, she responded, Samin, it seems like I struck a nerve yesterday. One of the UPA's longest and biggest sponsors went to a podcast to say that your CEO's letters read like Enron and are misleading at best. So I believe she's talking about the Selkirk interview with Tom Barnes. I'm not sure if that's who she's referring to.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, because there was a Selkirk interview on the Pickleball Studio podcast where I don't know what his title is, but Tom Barnes from Selkirk was pretty adamant in like not liking how the UPA was operating. And then Connor Pardo, who is the CEO of PPA, also I don't know what ownership stake, if he's like full owner. I guess he's probably not 100% owner anymore, but part owner of the PPA. He responds, and this one's kind of like, I'll just read it. I'm not gonna read the whole thing. Basically, he talks about the same things that Samin Adwani was talking about, where he's talking about, you know, how much they made last year, blah, blah, blah. And then he talks about how professional pickleball is in its early stages, and yes, tough decisions have to be made, but let me be clear, bridge loans, investments, and calculated risk are part of an ambitious growth strategy. To suggest otherwise lacks understanding how successful organizations operate. The reality is, Jill, the sport has outgrown your ability to stay relevant. Maybe that's why you're so bitter. It's easier to play the victim and stir up drama than to acknowledge that you're simply not part of the future of pro pickleball. Good luck with whatever grudge-driven project you're working on for 2025. We'll be busy growing the sport, leading the community, and building the next biggest sports enterprise. Pickleball's trajectory is set with or without you. So that was the direct quote from Connor's tweet. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I think, where things kind of left off. What do you think about that whole thing? I mean, that's a lot of stuff. I mean, I guess it just boils down to Jill, yes, probably had a clickbaity title.
Yeah.
It's kind of what you do have to do on YouTube. But she might have not had all the facts. And then I guess first, what do you think about her statement? Do you think it's fair for her to start stating that stuff without knowing all the details, or calling an emergency loan?
Well, I think it's like, I think there has to be some sort of fact to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like some sort of it has to be true. Like maybe some of it's false. Maybe like, I mean, all of it could be false, but I think for the way like the PPA and them to react the way that they are right now kind of makes it seem like there has to be some truth behind it. Like there should be something wrong. Otherwise, like that last tweet from Connor, basically just like kind of attacking her, like it was pretty aggressive. Like you don't expect that from like a CEO to just kind of say that, unless maybe it's Elon Musk, but like you would expect people to act a bit more professionally if it was like an untrue statement. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm thinking, like, you know, yes, you can be clickbaity. Maybe it's not the best thing to do, but I feel like she might have some truth behind it, or else she would have said that.
So. Yeah. So it's hard to know. Like she was reporting that they had a $10 million bridge loan, and it seems like that part was, you know, confirmed by Connor that's true. So there's nothing false there, I guess, as far as like it being an emergency or, you know, part of business growth. I don't know. Like that one, I don't think we'll ever get like clarity on. I think I also agree. This is so unprofessional for, you know, the leadership of the UPA to be calling out a player saying, oh, you're just bitter because you're not good enough, like, to be playing. Like, who, like, could you imagine the NFL commissioner or NBA commissioner coming out and saying, like, oh, you're just bitter because you can't make a team, or you can't, you're not good enough anymore. Like, you would never see that. It just, you're not going to have the commissioner, like, out there with, even if they had a personal vendetta against the player, they're not going to be out there tweeting about it, posting Instagram stories. It just showed, man. You know, I don't know if this is, like, the worst thing Connor Pardo has posted, but it just goes to show that I don't think he's the best leader for the UPA, and it kind of show. And then he, in the comments and, like, some of the Instagram posts, they had, like, Hannah Johns and some of the other reporters going, like, you know, attacking Jilly B2, so it's, like, a whole squad is, like, attacking a person just because of her podcast. And I understand, like, they felt attacked, but like you said, like, why such an aggressive response if it's what she's saying is not true? Like, why is it so aggressive that you're defending it? You know, if it's not true, why don't you just ignore it and be like, yeah, like, and if she's irrelevant, like you're saying, why are you responding?
Exactly.
You're saying she's irrelevant and doesn't matter, but you have such an aggressive response from not only the leader, but then all of the workers, too, of the UPA. They're all ganging up to attack her when she's irrelevant and doesn't matter. Like, there's a disconnect there, right? I mean, like, if she didn't matter, why do you have everyone? It's on the weekend, too. You're supposed to be not even working right now. Well, I guess they probably work some, you know, they work a lot of weekends because of the tournament. But I'm just saying, like, it doesn't make sense if what she's saying is so. I mean, I guess you could say, like, oh, it's so false, they got riled up, but you just can't be a leader and be responding like that. It's like, just the personal attacks to say, like, the player's irrelevant. And it's not like she's good. She's not the best, but, like, I mean, really, there's only four women that consistently make the medal stand, right? Like, mm-hmm. You've got Anna Lee, Catherine Parenteau, Anna Bright, and Rachel Rohrabacher. Those are the only four that actually are, like, consistently there. So, I mean, like, are all the other women irrelevant to you too, Connor? I mean, it's not easy to make the medal stand consistently.
Yeah. But also, just, like, for me, like, based on, like, my personal experience, it does seem like the MLP and, like, those events are not doing well.
Yeah.
I literally went to an MLP event for free, the one in DC, because they could not sell the tickets. Mm-hmm. And then there was literally going to be no crowd until they gave the tickets away for free to, like, people, like, last second. And then so that was the only reason I went, was because the tickets were free. And even going there, like, it wasn't even, like, packed or anything. Like, there was still so much, like, seating and so much space.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking, like, if the DC one wasn't busy, I don't know about the other ones, but I'm assuming, like, these places, they're not filling up the seats, they don't have the tickets, and people aren't really watching it either, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's definitely not as popular as it once was. And when I've watched, and I've watched quite a bit, I'm definitely watched more than, like, say, an average fan. The crowds aren't that packed, especially, you know, you catch them on, like, the early days, there's just, like, no one there.
Yeah.
And even sometimes, like, you would have a final or something, and the stands weren't packed, and then they do intentionally, which is fine, like, get smaller seating so that they can, like, you know, get, like, if the finals can fully pack it, just because they don't want to risk having those empty spots. And I get it. You don't want to have those empty spots showing, like, some NFL stadiums will, they'll sometimes get people in there with free tickets too. So, and I think that is the best option. Like, if you can't sell the tickets, give them away for free, get people in there. But to say that, like, you know, it's, you're getting so many people and people are loving it, it's like, yeah, it's probably not true. Because she also said on the podcast that, you know, this was, you know, just anecdotal, that she was, she knew that attendance was down from amateurs because she could get practice court time You know, it's finding a random court when she's at these tournaments, and before she could never get that. And I think that does kind of like say a lot. It's like when you're at even like a local tournament, I mean, probably not as many courts, but it's like, you know, it's hard. Like, it's hard to get court.
It is
like
hard.
You can't really get court time. And when you're at some of these bigger tournaments like Beer City, which I haven't been to, but I've got the most like knowledge of, it's like it's hard to get on the courts. There's just so many people. But at some of these MLPs and PPAs, like some of these places have a ton of courts, and they just start, I guess, just not getting the bigger turnout because they're raising the prices. You know, at some point, to pay like $300-400 for a tournament, I mean, people, unless you're really chasing pro, you're like, well, we can just organize our own tournament for cheaper.
Exactly,
and have
yeah.
more fun, run it better, get more refs. Like, you know, they're charging so much now. But yeah, I don't know. The whole situation leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I don't really like the way, you know, Connor and all of his squad is like just personally attacking people. I understand, you know, probably wasn't even, you know, it's not information that was supposed to be leaked to the public.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, what are you gonna, every time someone disagrees with you, you're going to go personally attack them? Come on. It just, that's not how you lead. But I don't know. Let us know in the comments if that's your leadership style. If someone does something you don't like, you attack them. You know, let me know how that's been working for you, or if you.
I mean, the platform they're attacking each other on, the CEO basically does the same thing. So,
well, we could probably know who he personally admires, I guess. To say the least, you know, maybe that's one of the people he looks up to, and I know, you know,
maybe he's got a Cybertruck in his in the parking lot or something.
I wouldn't be surprised, but yeah, I like we'll see. I mean, I assume she's not playing PPA events this year. Like, I don't know if he would ban her from them, but I think she's signed with one of the international leagues that's now up and running. So sounds like she's probably done with the PPA.
Maybe Australia, is that one of those?
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's like three of them. There's a lot of stuff going on, and I think, you know, we'll start getting more news about it as, you know, the leagues start launching up here. I think with all the holidays, everyone kind of took a break here. Like, I know, let me see. Rob Nunry also had a tweet. He said, "This from the founder of PPA Tour is wildly childish. Jilly B, not that it's relevant to her story whatsoever, would be consistently going deep in main draws on any tour. With all that revenue, might be time to hire a PR firm to help with some media, some media and social media training." I thought that was pretty funny. I was like, that was well said. That was, you know, a great quote. I don't know if he responded to him. I don't think he did. I know Rob's, you know, not like the PPA for a while too. I don't think he may have played earlier in 2024, but I know he wasn't really playing. He was playing mainly APP and some like international stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's weird for, you know, the CEO of the PPA and then this chief strategy officer to be commenting on a pro player's game. Like, they just, how is that part of your job and part of what you should be doing? It just doesn't make sense. And then, like, you have like the official PPA Tour Twitter and Instagram like reposting his stuff, and it's like, of course he probably runs it, you know, like he probably has the password, and he's posting his own stuff. And then yeah. I guess that's all I have to say on it. Interested to hear what other people think about it. I'm sure there'll be some PPA stance in the comments. So maybe Connor Pardo and his burner accounts in the comments. Who knows? And any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, nothing from me.
Okay. Yeah, and I think they did have an official list of paddles too, the UPAA, for like what's allowed to be played on tour. And I think they said they had like 20 brands. I was trying to navigate on the website. It wasn't working for me, so I don't know. And that, you know, it sounds like there's really no fallout from the interview with Tom Barnes, you know, saying, you know, he basically said that they are getting their paddle certified from UPA, you know, under not, I don't remember the exact wording, said so basically like under protest, right? You know, letting them know like they're not happy, but it sounds like they're just doing it. So if you're going to just keep paying the stuff, and you know, I understand why you have pros that need to use their paddles.
Yeah.
What, why they're not going to stop charging you the money, they're going to keep charging you more. So, well, it'll be interesting to see if they actually do stand up to the UPA and, you know, gather together and boycott them. But I guess maybe like that now is not the time because they don't have another tour for the pros to go to and they're under contract. But do you see them actually boycotting the UPA, or do you think they're just going to have to pay the fees? And
yeah, I don't know if like, since all the other big ones are also just paying it, and then Selkirk has so many pros, like they already invested a lot in these pros, so
yeah,
I feel like they kind of have to, but unless their pros are just all gonna walk, and then that's a lot of revenue loss for them too. So
yeah, I mean, it's, they're stuck in a hard situation. Like I would, if I was running a paddle company, I would not be happy either. It's like I pay these fees, and then after I pay these fees, you tell me I have to pay more fees so my paddle's not blacked out, and you didn't tell me until after I already paid your certification fees. I mean, I would be pretty angry. I'd be very angry. I'd be starting that collective too and making sure that we try to do something about it. But with all the players under contract already, it makes it a little difficult to do something now. Because I don't know what the answer is exactly. I mean, it would work if they had all the paddle companies be able to bond together, but the problem is you have like Yola and Proton and I think a few others that are like, we'll pay, so that, you know, like at the end of the day they'll have like, you know, at least 5 or 10 companies that will pay, and that's enough, maybe that's enough for them.
And yeah, because that's like all the pros already.
Yeah, I mean, Yola's probably, I don't even know what percentage of the pros Yola is, but it's probably enough where Yola and Proton and I don't know who else. I mean, it's probably like Yola number one, Selkirk number two, and then whatever. Paddle Tech's probably up. Like, and I think I don't know if Paddle Tech, which side of the fence they were on. But yeah, if you had like, say you just had three, you had Yola, Paddle Tech, and Proton, and they're willing to do it, you probably are okay as the PPA. You're like, all right, we got enough. So, you know, what are you going to do? You basically need to convince Yola to switch sides to make the, you know, PPA come to the negotiating table. But we'll see what happens there. There's a tournament, the Masters is, I think, starts tomorrow actually. So when this podcast comes out, it'll be going on. So we'll see who's there with which paddles. Maybe I think we might see some new paddles there too. Just paddles that got that new
like
certification.
Prototypes, or
no, I mean, like, I wouldn't say prototypes. I would say, you know, like how Yola for a while was using like their alphas. Like, I would say you see new paddles that only the pros have, maybe, just because it's the first tournament of the year and it seems like they've had some time to get like the interim certification, or, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
Okay.
I get, you know, we'll see on January 6th, I believe the Masters starts. It's an all week kind of thing. So I imagine they're doing the progressive draw where it's just one match per day for each event, one match for like women's, men's, mixed, singles. Like, they just do one match a day. If you win, you move on to the next day. I think that's the only reason they do the week long tournament. So we'll see on that stuff. That's all the news and stuff. You know, it's, you can go read more, but it's kind of all it boils down to is not like a he said, she said type thing, but like, you know, some argument on why the loan was needed and if it's an emergency, and some attack on some pros' personal game. Anything else cooking this week that you wanted to talk about? We're keeping a little shorter because we're going to play the interview, but anything else that you've got cooking over there?
No, I'm just going to spend time getting ready for the snow.
All right.
Bunker down in the dust, so.
Sounds good. You get that shovel? You got a snow shovel?
I'm about to go buy one.
You don't have one? That's when you know you don't get snow.
Yeah, it's a new house.
Oh, okay. Like, do you have like some salt or?
No, okay. I got like seasoning salt.
Seasoning salt. All right. Well, Sounds like you're prepared as you can be, or you're going to get prepared. And hopefully we don't have
I
to.
I got like 8 hours, I think.
Oh, it's happening like midday or late or like evening, night, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like...
Oof. I got to check and see if we're going to get snow. I know sometimes you guys get the snowstorm and we don't really get any of it. It's freezing here, though, so I know that. Very cold, yeah. Like 18 degrees this morning.
Yeah.
But sunny. Cold and sunny. Yeah, sunny. I mean, so you can get the vitamin D, but you're going to freeze out there. All right, so we're going to go to the interview. All right, so we have a special guest today, all the way from Puerto Rico, and someone you've seen in a lot of my reviews and videos and talked about in some tournament experience. It's Carol, someone I play a lot with, and like I said, you've seen a lot of the videos. Carol, how's it going all the way from the sunny land of Puerto Rico?
Well, hello, everybody. The infamous Carol from some of the videos, so Jacob. So it's been pretty nice, not gonna lie. I can get used to this, like sunshine and all the weather, plus being at the beach doesn't hurt either. So it's been pretty nice to escape from the cold a little bit.
Yeah, it's always rainy or snowy in Michigan this time of year, so I'm definitely jealous of the nice weather. She showed me all the nice trees in the background, and yeah, definitely mm-hmm. jealous. You can be playing pickleball outside, just being outside and not having to wear a coat is always a good plus in my book.
Yes.
But yeah, yes. So there's a growing pickleball scene in Puerto Rico, and Carol's got some experience there as she's from there and is there now. Do you know like kind of when it started? Did they start getting some pickleball going during COVID, or was there like an underground scene going before?
So to be honest, like I even my 23 years of living in Puerto Rico, never heard of pickleball. I did had a lot of like volleyball, like, and all the other normal sports mm-hmm. here. It wasn't until I went to Michigan and COVID hit that I got a friend that I know from volleyball to say, hey, you're good, pretty good with racket sports. Have you heard about pickle? I was like, what? Is that even a real thing?
Yeah.
So I decided to try it and immediately fell in love with it. So I was already like calling my dad, hey, because my dad plays all the sports. So that's how I'm like a sporty person yeah. too. And he's really good at tennis. So I told him, say, hey, have you heard about this like new pickleball craze that's happening? Like I never had no idea. So he'd never heard of it. So we started looking. It's like, okay, Puerto Rico, let's see, pickleball. Nothing was coming up. So it was until like recently, like 2022,
okay.
that they opened up like a big pop-up store in one of the big shopping centers here in San Juan.
Okay.
That they open it for like, I think there's like 20 courts of pickleball. It's just, yeah, they just lined up courts, but it's not the greatest surface because it's like, imagine if it was an old Macy's and then you just like got rid of everything that was there and then you just put pickleball lines with portable.
Okay, so it was kind of like it was a mall basically, and then they turned, you know, that's funny that you say that. It reminded me like 2 years ago, someone wrote this article, like the next big thing is turning malls into pickleball courts, but I haven't seen anything happening here really about that ever since that article. But that's cool that they're doing it, because like I know there's yeah. some malls here that like are pretty slow, or they're closing like stores, like you said, Macy's is actually closing next to me, so perfect space to like put some courts in if you can make the ceiling work and get some surface in there yes. that works. So that's awesome, they got a 20 yeah. court facility off the bat right there.
Yeah. So it's pretty nice. So, I mean, if you don't mind, like, that it's a white floor, it's a different surface, so the ball tends to skid a lot. The ceilings are low, but it's something you can mm-hmm. do, like, if you feel like just grab a foursome and go play pickleball and air conditioning, no humidity yeah. from the outside. And of course, it usually rains a lot here, so that's a good like indoor option. So in the weekends you get a lot of traffic going there, especially like with like people that get off the cruise and stuff, they're looking for some pickleball to do, then they can go there. It's like a maybe 10 minute ride from like the port.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and just now that it's growing more, so that was the first big thing that they opened mm-hmm. up. Now what they're doing is like converting some of the tennis courts, just like the
yep.
the trend in the mainland, for pickleball courts. So you'll see like all the pickleball courts here are like full versus the tennis courts. And the other thing, so I live in Bayamon, which is like a town south of San Juan. So I was trying to see, it's like, okay, where are the pickleball courts? Mm-hmm. So we did find something near where my parents live, which is right here where I'm talking to you right now. And it was basically just like what I like to call like a kind of like a street pickleball.
Okay.
Because it was courts that were meant for volleyball. So it's like a multi-purpose course. So there's like volleyball, basketball. So they painted the lines there. So it was perfect because all you had to do was bring your net and then you just get to play. The courts, like it's seen a lot of the years. So it needs to, if they like... put some renovations in, there will be a better surface. It's because there was a lot of cracks mm-hmm. and stuff like that, but we made do. So it was fun. So we got to meet a good amount of like cool players there. They're super friendly. They told us about these new courts that they were opening up like 5 minutes away too. I was like, oh, heck yeah, let's go check them out.
was this kind of like the back alley, that court that we played the Eastern Market Brewing Tournament in, like, was it, did it kind of give that kind of feel, or is it better than, yeah?
Yes. Okay. It did kind of get that okay. feel. It wasn't in a street, yeah. but it was like an old okay. court that had like really good, like the lines, you can tell the lines were painted like pretty recently. Okay. So you could clearly see all the lines and the kitchen and everything. But I mean, there was a lot of cracks here and there, but yeah, it kind of gave me that feel of the.
Hey, if you like pickleball, you'll play on any court. If yes. that's what your option is, you'll play on it, and it's still fun. But yeah, that's cool. So they're making use. Like, is tennis yeah. pretty popular? Like, decently popular there. So they have quite a few like outdoor yeah. tennis courts already. Okay. Mm-hmm, yeah, so they got mm-hmm. a lot to work with. I know some. There's a lot of unconverted tennis courts here still. We got a lot more room in the U.S. to. In the continental U.S. here.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, sure. That's cool that they got it going. So were they pretty interested in, like, your perspective, like, coming from Michigan? Like, what's the pickleball scene like over in Michigan? Or are they like, hey, we got our scene here. We don't care about your scene.
I don't know. No, it's not that they didn't care. They were just curious of where I was playing because okay. I'm here for the yeah. whole month. I kind of explained to them, it's like, yeah, over there it's cold right now, so it's basically like you have to play indoors. So, and this past year, all these like new indoor mm-hmm. facilities are coming in Michigan, which is great. I just wish when the outdoor season comes, they put lights yeah. on the court.
Yep, that would be nice. It seems like the only lights in Michigan right now are like the private courts. I guess the problem is the public parks here just don't want people there after dark. So that's kind of the problem.
I guess so.
But hopefully.
Yeah, here you can be there until like whenever because the parks are open. You can actually turn on the lights yourself and then turn it off when you're done.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. You just
go up. Yeah, yeah. So we did that yesterday. We found other courts. Where we played and it was like, yeah, the light switch is there. We turn it on and then I think we played until like 9:30 p.m. and then we just shut it off.
That's pretty awesome. Nice. I mean, of course, and then it's like cooler yeah. at night if it's hot and humid there and then you get better temperature. Do you find like yes. they have a better, like a different play style? Like, are they playing the game differently at all that you've noticed, or what would you say about that?
The only thing I would say that we're different is that we're louder.
Okay. fair enough.
The gameplay is kind of the same. Like, you see everybody doing like the mm-hmm. drop shots to get into the kitchen. You see your aggressive players too in the open play. But it gets loud and
Okay.
fun. Oh my gosh. If something you know about Puerto Ricans is that we're very
Okay,
loud.
so a little, you see a little bit more passion on the court. I think I would fit in then. Like I tend to I guess not be, maybe be a chameleon sometimes. I do like to play a little bit more passionately. Like that's like my the peak true self, but like I play a little bit more reserved if people are not as passionate as myself. So yeah, I think I would enjoy some Puerto Rican pickleball there. Like that sounds fun. I like to be passionate on the court. So but that's cool. Like I know I've heard some different things of like stuff coming out of like India or whatever. So I think Japan has a little fledgling scene too. So it's always interesting to hear like what styles are going in. Like, all the other countries kind of are doing like their own startup thing. I guess kind of what happened in like, in Michigan at one time. Like there was where we play a lot in Royal Oak. That was like one of the first courts around. So like people came from all over and I'm sure like people will come to, was it San Juan that all the courts are at right now?
Well, the indoor
Okay.
courts, but like now in Puerto Rico, so this is pretty cool. So there's little pockets of like pickleball courts around the
Oh,
island,
nice.
and they make their own little like club for it. So what they do is like, let's say you're from this town, and you have a group of people that play. And then the other town, they kind of combine like a league. It's like, okay, this town one versus town two will meet at this court, and then they kind of do like their own kind of league.
Oh,
It's pretty
that's
fun.
pretty
It like
cool.
took me back. It took me back when I was like playing volleyball, where I used to travel all around the island just playing against other teams from different towns. So it's kind of like
Yeah, so
that
you kind
right
of feel like
here.
it was like a it's like a little high school like team rivalries and stuff or yeah, that's that would be fun. Like we should do more of that in Michigan, have like club versus club because there's quite a few clubs now in our area though they could definitely do that. I guess it just someone has to organize that, but that would be a cool thing to do. Yeah, that's awesome. And then anything else on the scene that you've noticed or wanted to talk about, or you think that covers the scene right now?
Well, it's definitely growing. The better courts right now are in like the hotel and like the big country clubs. There's a big country club in the east side of the island. They have, I want to say they have like 10
Oh,
courts
wow.
or something, that they host like pretty good big tournaments there. I don't know if it's 10 courts. It might be
Okay.
six. I don't know. But yeah, those are the like the really nice courts, right? So they're basically concentrated on like the hotels and country
Okay.
clubs. But definitely growing, because I was already like zooming in my map,
Trying to
like
see
and
with the
seeing.
Google search images, like where are the courts? Does my
Yes.
neighbor over here have a court? Does this neighbor have a
Yes,
court? Could
correct.
probably stop by, casually mention pickleball, and then see if they want to play later. But yeah, I didn't even think about that. Like if the cruise ships are stopping, you're gonna have more courts, and then like I'm sure you can probably work out some kind of deal if you're a real fanatic player to like somehow get on those courts at the hotels or country clubs maybe, and you just gotta know.
They definitely need more in San Juan, 'cause they don't have any like real pickleball courts near San Juan that are outside that I
Okay.
know of, apart from the
Yeah.
hotels.
Well, yeah, that's cool. It
So
sounds like it's growing pretty fast, and I can imagine like if there's quite a few tennis players, it's just gonna grow fast there too. So
yes.
that's awesome. And then did the I know last year they had a Puerto Rico Open there that a few of the pros went to. Did that happen yet this year, or is it happening?
So it did happen. I don't know if any of the
Okay.
pros came over here, but it's called the Puerto Rico Open. It happened in the town called Caguas, which is another like big city in the metro area. That they have a good amount of pickleball courts there. I wanted to play there this year because it happened on the first weekend of
Okay.
December, but didn't have my partner.
Sometimes timing doesn't work out. But maybe pencil me in for next year. Maybe it sounds like a good vacation slash pickleball tournament fun. So I'll see if we can arrange that. That'd be cool. That'd be my first time like traveling, I guess, for a tournament, because I don't think I've traveled too far. I guess like 4 hours. We'll say 4 hours I've traveled.
Yeah, this will be like a 5-hour plane ride.
Yeah. So I'll see. It would be a good, especially if it's early December, you know, a good like break before the holidays, get some warm weather. So don't hold me to it, but I'll see what we can do.
Just the thought.
That's cool. Okay. Hopefully we can get to that next year, because that would be really fun. I don't think I have anything else that I had lined up. Any other questions? But if you had anything else you wanted to say, it doesn't have to be specifically about Puerto Rican pickleball. It could be about how amazing my game has grown over the years, because we basically met like when we kind of both started playing. I think you might have been playing longer than I had at that point, maybe like, but around the same time. We started playing around the same time and met not too long after that. So I guess we both seen each other's game grow over the years. And And anything you wanted to say about my amazing game, or just anything else?
To segue that, it's growing, pickleball is growing here in Puerto Rico. It's like they hosted a big World Cup in Peru this past October. And actually, Puerto Rico won the whole thing. It was like 32 countries around the world.
Was it a team style? And
Puerto Rico
team style,
won.
I guess. Yeah, okay.
Yes. Yes.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was MLP style. So it was like a rally score to 21. And I think there was no freezes. So every point counts.
Do you know if any of the pros from that team are playing like in the PPA or APP or... Okay.
See, I don't know. US was in there, but I wasn't following it too closely. But as soon as Puerto Rico hit the finals, I was watching it. I'm like, so I didn't.
That's
get
my
to
bad.
Watch
on my prep, I should have looked this stuff up and watched. But yeah, I that one like kind of. I saw a little bit about it, but it kind of went under the radar. But I definitely need to check out some international pickleball wherever you know these tournaments. Maybe I should go back and watch that, because I am interested to see like if they have some like different play styles. I'm sure they have a little bit different like stuff going on. That's just kind of how it works when people are playing in different areas. Kind of different metas like will evolve. So that'd be interesting to see. But congratulations to Puerto Rico for winning that. I know that was a couple months ago, right?
October.
And time flies by. But yeah, congrats to them. So we'll see. We'll see about those other teams, if they can step up next year. Puerto Rico's just going to run the table, go for two in a row.
Let's go. Maybe I'll join the team.
Hey, you should try out. I know they had like a European thing going on, and I know that someone locally I think went there on one of the teams, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, hey, if the population of players is small enough, or you're just good enough, you can make the national team, right? So I don't.
Let's go.
Unfortunately, I have about 0% chance of making the U.S. team, so I'm not even going to try. But maybe I could be like a commentator or something.
we can adopt you in Puerto Rico.
Sure. All right. I'm gonna apply as an adoption candidate there.
Okay.
All right. Well, do you have anything else you wanted to talk about? Anything else? Open floor.
Well, first, thanks you for having me. I'm finally here. You can see my face. I see you guys in the comment section. When is she gonna go? I'm here. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk about a little bit of me and then pickleball in Puerto Rico. It was nice chatting with you. And yes, his game has gotten a lot better. You know why? Because he listened to me.
It is true. She does have good, best unsolicited advice around. Probably the only unsolicited advice I'll listen to on the court, really. Because, you know, if she says it, she she's seen it, and it has helped me. So thank you to that. And thank you for taking the time and joining me today to record this. Really do appreciate it. And we'll definitely have you back again sometime if you want to come on. All up to you. But enjoyed it.
Yeah, anytime. I'd probably see you also at the court when I come
back. I bet you will. All right. Yes. That's all. We're going to jump back into the podcast now. All right, thanks for watching the interview. If you want to see more stuff like that, let me know, and of course let us know all your thoughts on those on that news. We'd love to see what everyone's thinking about that. David, any final words for us?
Nope, nothing for me.
All right, guys, have a good one, and if you're in that snowstorm, stay safe. If you're in the south, we're jealous. Keep warm. Bye.